Morning. How are you doing? Happy Sabbath.
My name is Ben Ruda. My family is here, Denise and Selena, my daughter. My daughter looks like half asleep. It's because she's half asleep right now. And I want to get close to you, if you don't mind. I used to work in Gastonia and Monroe, two churches. One of my previous church was a Hispanic church, and Spanish is my mother language, and that's why I had this kind of like funny accent when you hear me. I'm really glad to be here and ready to help you and serve in any category possibility that we can. In the bulletin, you have my cell number, so if you have a need or need a visitation or special prayer or whatever the situation is, please feel free to contact me. And I'd be glad to start visiting you. By the way, I would like to start visiting you. I understand some people don't like visits. And if you are one of these persons, just let me know. Thank you. But don't come to my house. So we can maybe arrange another kind of meeting. And I understand. Don't feel bad. I had that situation in many occasions. But if you are okay with the visitation, I would like to go to your house and know you better and talk to you and listen to you and pray for you. How is that? That's a good idea? We are just moving in the process right now. Part of my house is still in boxes. The house that we previously have in Charlotte was a little bigger than that we have here, and that's quite a challenge. You know, you're trying to accommodate everything. But we are happy and glad that the Lord had given us a house and a place to be here. And for that reason, we are really grateful. Today I want to share something from the Gospel of John, if you are so kind. Let's have a moment of prayer right now. Our Heavenly Father, at this moment we go back to you and ask you for your Holy Spirit. Lord, we have to acknowledge that all the wisdom comes from you. Please bless us with your wisdom at this moment. In Jesus' name we ask you this. Amen. So if you are so kind, please open your Bibles in John chapter 5. That's our study portion of the scripture for today, John 5. John is one of my favorite gospels, and as you probably know, it's known as the gospel of love. John described many stories, and the story that is mentioned here in chapter 5 had to do with a man who had a problem with the ability to walk. And we all are confronted with sickness and disease once in a while. And in fact, tomorrow will be the anniversary from an incident that we have in our previous church. Last year, probably you remember, June the 16th was Saturday, and our church decided to do a picnic in one of the local parks, and everybody goes there, and we had the Sabbath school there, and we had the worship hour there, and have a meal after that. It was a beautiful Saturday. We have a great joy and a lot of happiness in there. That afternoon, when everybody was going back home, a couple from our church have an accident, and the wife died at that accident, and the husband is still until today in recovery. He is in the process of learning to walk and move his arm. He was seriously injured in that accident. And I was talking to my wife about that because tomorrow will be the anniversary, so I need to call this man and talk to him. And trying to pray with him and bring some encouragement. But life had these kind of like surprises, right? You are fine today, you are healthy, everything is okay, and then suddenly, out of the blue, something can happen to you, a member of your family, a son, we don't know. And the story is, I have some appealing issues to me, and I want to share this with you. Let's go to John 5:1. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now, there in Jerusalem, by the sheep gave a pool, which is called in Hebrew Bethesda, having five porches. And in this lay a great multitude of sick people, blind, lame, and paralyzed, waiting for the movement of the water. Now, the story starts in a very simple way, describing like a pool. And I don't know what comes to your mind when you think in a pool. But in our ideas, and probably you are like me, are you thinking like blue kind of crystal water, you know? Very nice place, clean, and I want you to please erase that image from your memory. It's not like that. Think more like a place when the water from the rain is collected. You need to remember that in Jerusalem, they don't have a lot of water. And this container in this location over there, you had the mud and the dirt and mixed with the water. And it's possible that the locals used that water to cook, to eat, wash their clothes, take baths, also feed their animals. It was multiple functions for that little container of water. And to make the situation a little more sad, it was a great amount of people around the pool. They were sick. And the story is in Sabbath, which happens to be our special day, right? So I want you to think about a regular Sabbath for you. You get ready for church, put in your tie or your suit or the best dress that you have, and then going back to church. And have you encountered someone in the way here that is begging for money? That happened to anyone here today? You don't see it a lot, right? But in occasions we see that, especially in big cities, and I guess because of the financial situation, the economics, that's other things that you start noticing is happening more and more. That you see people in the streets begging, I don't have a job, and I need some food. Can you please give me some assistance? And I didn't know, but in at least in Charlotte, and I guess it's here, the same thing, that begging in the streets is illegal. So if the police see you doing that, they can arrest you. So I didn't understand that part. But where I come from is a country, second class world country. It's known as Colombia, South America. And Colombia is well known for several things, right? One of the things that is because about coffee, and the other thing is because drugs. You know, wherever you go, talk about Colombia, and then people start thinking that over there is raining cocaine every day or something like that. And we have some social issues in that country. And one of the issues that comes with drugs is that you had people that is very, very rich, but also you had people that is extremely poor. And that is quite difficult situation. Being in a country different than the United States gives you like a different perspective about life. To me, seeing people begging and sleeping in the streets and suffering in that conditions is part of my education, my training. That's what I used to see in my country. Now, when you move here, it's totally different. You know, you expect like at least an opportunity to find a job, an opportunity to work and have a decent life. And for that reason, I'm really grateful. And I still consider that this is one of the best places to live, you know, great nations. And it, to me, has been a great blessing. One day I will tell you the rest of my story and how I get here. But the story the Bible is telling us that Jesus, in this particular Saturday, go by this place that is called Bethesda, which, by the way, means house of mercy, house of blessings. And in that place, he saw this amount of people. They were sick and they were suffering in there. And out of the multitude, he selected this man that he was in there for 38 years. The spirit of prophecy described this case as one of the worst cases. He had been laying there for many, many years. No friends, no resources, completely abandoned. And somehow God, through Jesus, select this man and start talking to him. And the first question that he asked this man is, do you want to be healed? And that, we all don't know, is a rhetorical question. It seems quite like a dumb question, right? It's like you are asking somebody really hungry, do you want to eat? You know? Or if you see somebody that is almost naked, do you want to be clothed? And in this case, Jesus is asking this sick man, do you want to be healed? And the answer that you expect from this man is what? Yes! But instead, the man started describing Jesus, his condition. He said, listen, I want to be healed, but it happens that when the water moves, it's always somebody faster than me. You know? And the Bible tells us that the people believe that an angel from heaven come, you know, once in a while, and move the center of the water. And when that happened, everybody rushed into the pool, because the first who get in there, what will happen? Will heal. Of course, the people who will get first in there is the people who had the sickness or the diseases that they were less threatening, like maybe a cold, or, I don't know, you know, like headaches, something like minor. and you get into the water, and of course you will but be healed, you know, feel well. And that was what happened in this situation. So for this man, after 38 years being in there, trying to get into the pool in first place, I probably feel like he gave up. You know, there's not much to do in that place. There's no possible opportunity to get in that pool before everybody else because I can't walk, you know. Now, think about this condition. Being in there without taking showers, without being able to use a regular bathroom, what can be a condition for this human being? How this person could smell? Not good. You're right. If you don't know how a human body smells, stop taking a shower for 1 week and you will notice. And if you don't notice, people around you, they will. A few years ago, I was driving here in one of the highways, and I saw this young man asking for a ride to the city where I was moving. And I stopped and gave them a ride. And I noticed that they had been a long time without a shower because they smell really, really bad. I didn't mention anything. I just want to do an act of kindness for these people. But human beings, when we are exposed to certain circumstances, we suffer. We have certain circumstances that make us not really approachable. So in this Saturday, Jesus looked at this person and selected him because he was the worst case from the multitude who need assistance. And without any explanations, the Lord said to this man, please raise and walk. And you know the story is mentioned in the Bible, that he listened to Jesus. And he decided to try it. And he moved and started walking. And the Lord say another thing also, interesting too. Take your bed and, you know, and walk and get out of here. Leave this place. And that's what he did. But at the time, he got a little distracted. So Jesus moved away and he didn't see Jesus to say thank you. And the story continued telling us that when he was walking, some people find him in the street walking with a little bed on Saturday. Now, think about this bed as like a little piece of carpet, you know, something really thin that you put in the ground to sleep. My dad used to have a farm, and we go in summers there, and we didn't have beds at that place. And they had these things that you put in the ground, and then you sleep over there, so you don't get the cold from the ground. That's not very therapeutic for your back, I'm telling you. You know, you don't feel any pain the next day. You won't have back anyway. That's the case. This man is walking by the street with this portable bed, and somebody from church noticing. And the first question that they're asking is, why are you carrying a bed on Saturday? That's not lawful. Now, keep in mind that for the Jewish people, when they were talking about something lawful, that doesn't mean necessarily that he was breaking a commandment. What it means is that according to the interpretations of the experts at the time, it's certain things that you can do on Saturday and other things that you cannot do on Saturday. And he was doing something inappropriate. What he was doing, he was carrying something, and that is the amount of weight that you are supposed to carry on Saturday. And for that reason, he was doing something unlawful. Now, the argument here is this, and this is the points that I think they are interesting for us as a Seventh-day Adventist. How many times in your experience as a Seventh-day Adventist have you been confronted when a neighbor or a member of your family being in a serious need and it happens to be on Saturday? And then you have to choose between going to church or going and help this person. Or going to the grocery and buy food for this person that I need, or don't doing it because it's Saturday. And how did that situation happen to you? I remember a few years ago, we visited another city away from our town. And one of the members of the church received us in his house with the only problem that he wasn't expecting us to be there. But he was so kind and he wanted to prepare something for us, but he didn't have food in his house. And I remember this member of the church going and buying food for us. And I feel bad. You know, like, he's doing something that probably I won't do in his case. But the reason that this man was doing that is because he wanted to bring his hospitality and take care of our needs, regardless of the day. And to me, it's really important that in every single church we remember that human beings are more important than anything else. Because in occasions we create circumstances around the Sabbath and around other rules that can prevent us from doing good. Now, hear me well, please. I'm not saying today that you should go and start breaking the commandment and doing crazy stuff because you think that you're helping everybody. What I'm saying is that in certain circumstances, we should go the extra mile. All right? Let me ask you the second question to you is this. How many of you have friends that they don't belong to the church? So you have friends that don't belong to the church? That's good. The majority of the people that I know in the church, they don't know anyone from outside. We tend to associate with ourselves only. And that is a bad idea. And let me explain you why. We need to be connected with other people. That's our opportunity to help. That's our opportunity to witness. That's our opportunity to represent Jesus. You know, if we stop, thinking in our local community only and start moving around our neighborhoods and thinking in your cousins and members of the family that they are not Seventh-day Adventists, that they need help too, then we will expand our horizon and trying to reach for these people too. But if you pay attention, we become more and more concentrated in ourselves. That we don't want anyone from outside. We don't want people that smell bad here on Saturday. We don't want people who look bad on Saturday here at the church. We don't want people who come with tattoos and look like, we are here. We want the clean, the nice, the decent people. But that's our mission. If you will have the opportunity to meet me when I was a teenager, then you will probably understand what I'm trying to say. I had the opportunity to meet Jesus when I was at the age of 18. And before that, my mom and dad, they were divorced, and in our house was a circumstance really, really deplorable and no discipline at all. And pretty much my brothers and I, we were kind of like completely lost. And somehow, by grace and God's opportunity, somebody invited me to one crusade, and that's how I started getting in contact with the church. And so if you think about, unless you are born in the church, but if you are not born in the church, somebody invite you here. Somebody talk to you about Jesus, or somehow you get a connection to the church, right? Most of the time it's a good friend. Most of the time it's maybe a member of your family who want to help you. Say, hey, you want to go to church? What I'm trying to say is that the people that we in occasions think less, they also deserve an opportunity to be in the kingdom. You don't think? Now, do you think that Jesus selected this man that he was really sick for 38 years because it was a coincidence, right? It was a chance of luck. I don't know. What do you think? Why God would select someone like that? Why God select you? Because we are special, right? We deserve it. That's why. Because we are unique. You know, in our society, people had to emphasize that the more different that we are, the more unique that we deserve things. And that, to me, is problematic. Because my circumstances are very similar to this man. You know, a person that was completely lost, without a chance to knowing Jesus at all, and out of the nowhere, somebody come and invite me to go to church and start teaching me about the gospel and start teaching me things about how to change my life, to me, that was an amazing blessing. But that doesn't happen by chance. What I want to suggest to you is that God have a plan for you and have a plan for me, right? When I was in Salvador School and listened to Grant here telling me that he was a Pentecostal before he joined the Seventh-day Adventist Church, I have a lot of curiosity to ask him, how that happened? You know, you were a churchgoer, you were a person who knew Jesus Christ, but I'm pretty sure there's a story behind that story, right? And one day I will have the opportunity to know that. So the story teaches several things. Number one, that we create things that in reality they are not relevant. That human beings had a value for God and for us too. That Jesus died for human beings. Even the people that we don't consider important, the people that we consider that they don't have any value, have value for God and for you and for me too. The second thing is that it's no such a thing like chances or luck. God is always working with a purpose. And He's selecting people. Not the best, not the brightest, not the most rich and powerful. He's selecting the people that is ready to join the kingdom. And that's important for us too. We need to pay attention to that. You know, as a church, we want to grow and we want to invite people to the church. And in one of my churches, the members always say, "Pastor, let's grow and start knocking in doors." Which is a good idea. When the only problem, when you go and knock in somebody's door, that they don't know you, the majority of the reaction is that it's not good. People don't want to talk to strangers. If you don't know who I am, and I get to your house and I start knocking your door at 2 or 3 o'clock in the afternoon, you will probably don't even open. You know, like, "Hey, it's a Hispanic guy there. I don't have a word. No speak español, amigo." You know, "Go to Home Depot to go work." You know, you probably say something like that to me, right? You don't know me. But that's the honest truth. Or maybe you call the police. "It's a suspicious person right there in front of my house. God knows what plans he have." You know, that's how we are. Because we value our privacy. We don't want people to, strangers especially, getting into your house. But how you can share the gospel with someone? Well, you need to be friends first. You know, you talk to your friends, people that know you, about God and how He's blessing you. And that's how we bring people to the church, making friends. It's as simple like that. You know, let's start being friends with people, even if they never join the church. Even if they never give an opportunity to God, that doesn't matter. You can be a blessing for them. And the final point that I want to mention from this story that I think is really appealing for me is that after these men start walking and, you know, being healed and the whole thing, one of the first thing that he did was start witnessing about Jesus. When the people stop and say, "Why are you carrying this bed?" "Well, because the one who healed me, which happened to have power, tell me to do it. And I obey him." And that is important to him. You know, you are a follower of Jesus. And as a follower of Jesus, we need to obey. Amen? In occasions, we become too complacent. We become too happy. And we become too doing our own things. And in many occasions, it's moving away from God. But remember, we are here for a reason. It's always a purpose. You probably don't see it. I'm probably speaking today to someone that is happening to pass right now for a spiritual drought. And you know, people pass through these periods of time. Especially some of the Adventist Christians. We pass for periods of time that you feel like, "I don't want to pray. I don't want to read my Bible. I don't want to talk to anyone. I just go in a church because that's what my mom or my dad teach me to do. This is my habit, you know." I don't know if that's your case. I just want to let you know that God cares for you. That you too deserve salvation. You know, and that's important that you remember that if you give God an opportunity, He will work amazing things through you and through me. Amen? But remember, we are just the guys who were rescued by Jesus. You know, we are the broken people that He gathered us and healed us and make us whole again. When you remember that, remember your past, and you know what is your future, where you're going, then we'll be able to help others. Amen? Amen. So may God bless you the rest of the week and have an amazing week and opportunities to talk to others and share the gospel. And also to bless your family and your kids and your spouses, whatever your situation is, brothers and sisters, and looking forward to know you better than in person. May God help us all to work His kingdom. Amen? Amen? Let's pray now. Our Heavenly Father, thank You so much because through the story in John 5, O Lord, You remind us that mercy, forgiveness, and opportunities are available through You. Lord, give us more opportunities. In Jesus' name, Amen.